I have been watching a lot of wrestling lately in preparation for the show, and there is a lot of wrestling to watch. And I give you guys props because you guys get ratings I couldn't get if I had Monica Lewinsky and the Pope on this show. So.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely. But my first question is, the audience, your audience, they're in on the joke, right?
So is your audience.
So is your audience.
So is your audience, man.
Yeah, but...
Come on.
Oh, no, I mean, I want to have this frank discussion. But, you know, this show, politically incorrect, means we never tell a lie. That's, I tell every guest that. I don't care what you have to say. You don't have to be funny. You don't have to be anything except honest.
But there isn't really a joke. I mean, it's not a joke.
We're a target. We're already a joke.
Yeah. Come on. Are you calling
me a joke? No, no, when I say in on the joke.
No, what joke? Tell us, what's the joke?
No, no, no.
What joke?
So what you're trying to say is...
Okay.
Define. Okay.
When I say in on the joke, I mean that people know that you're not really beating each other up.
Okay, let's just... We got a long...
Just stop right there.
30-minute show?
Yeah,
yeah,
at least. I know everybody for a long time.
Let's be real.
But you consider that a joke, do you?
No, no. It's a phrase. In on the joke means that you know that you're watching it with a sense of irony. I think in the old days, they watched wrestling in a different way. I think today's audience watches wrestling, and they are in on the joke. That's not an insult.
So what you're trying to say is what, I mean, people
I
are just dying
way.
For this.
I take it as an insult,
I do, too. I mean, but they're dying to find out, hey, wrestling's fake.
Then you're telling me that you're really hitting each other?
No. Oh.
The sound of the chair is real, okay? We are entertainment, but when a metal chair cracks your back, that's not fake.
You know what,
somebody throws you from... It's a metal
chair. Yes, you know what, I'm
there's
so
never a bruise on any of you.
Bologna, you got a minute? Look at this. No.
See that wrist? 7 years it's been broken. Owen Hart, dead. Why don't you go tell Mrs. Hart what a joke it is, huh?
Nate's watching Hell in a Cell. Boom, bang, boom. Hell in a Cell. Nate's watching Hell in a Cell. Baby on the blow.
That's outright lie. You're just starting the episode with a huge lie. I ain't watching no Hell in a Cell.
We had an Instagram last night that said you were live tweeting the entire show. I didn't get to check
fake.
On that. You didn't do it?
Nowhere near Instagram last night, leading people astray again.
Yeah. No, not really. I think I made it clear with the final hashtag of that post. Nate hates wrestling.
I did see the Hell in the Cell is painted fire engine red now.
There's a lot
of people on the internet upset about that? Question mark?
Doesn't really matter.
A lot of complaints out there.
There's only like a few times where I felt like it made it hard to see.
No, I could see that. I feel like they're just a little couple years too late on that, trying to ride the coattails of that Bound for Glory enclosed red cage that Homicide didn't have enough upper body strength to climb himself out of.
We were just talking about that the other night, weren't we?
We were, absolutely. And here we go.
Homicide just
like WWF had tapped right into.
Homicide can't do a pull-up, I guess.
Nope, that's why he'll never make it in the E.
Or at least not after 20 minutes of wrestling, he can't.
I probably wouldn't be able to either, quite frankly.
But it was like a spot fest. Like, it's not like he was working for 20 minutes. He'd, like, do something, take a powder.
It's do something, take a powder. That'd be my MO. I'd be one of those guys who always had a fork in his pants. Every once in a while, I'd pull it out and just, like, act like I was poking it in people's foreheads.
Yeah.
That would kill, like, a good 5 minutes.
Oh, hell yeah. That's a good bit.
Take another powder, jaw with the people in the front row for a while.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't even need cardio if I was a pro wrestler.
I tell you what, we don't take any powders on this show because it's baby oil and blow.
Take,
well, maybe one
powder
one
before
powder.
The show.
Yeah, there's powder we take.
Jacked up to be fire on that mic, son.
Yeah. Coming at you. Last days of summer. It's me, the dog big O, baby. With me, as always, you can be, well, since you want to do the bark, you can be Titus O'Neil to Apollo Crews. You are Nate Adams.
Ahoy, ahoy, everybody. Home. I got to say, last days of summer, but I poked my head outside just once today.
Yeah.
Just once really quickly, and I was like, it's still too hot.
That's
like,
why
I'm not going out there.
That's why I got this bitchin' GNR shirt with the sleeves cut off.
Yeah, that's one way to do it. Other way, just don't leave your house all day.
And my AC in my car decided to quit working like Friday.
Oh, you're living like poor people now.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine what that would be like.
Yeah, so I dressed accordingly for the two-minute drive to your house.
Probably just drive my car off the edge of the Thornton Quarry and give up on it.
We got a lot of stuff to talk about. I mean, there's so much going on in current wrestling.
The world,
we got to go over your what you thought about Hell in a Cell.
I already did. I heard that the cell was red.
Okay.
Not
those are
a
your
fan.
Thoughts there. Today, kind of a double-edged sword for
today's Elvira's birthday.
Well, there's a couple other things too.
On Monday.
It's Jimmy Cornette's birthday.
Jim Cornette and Elvira share a birthday.
Huh? And it's the 1 year anniversary of the Brain's passing.
Oh, very happy birthday to all those living and undead, and a very solemn go fuck yourself to everybody who just died on us, crept out and died and gave up.
I don't think
we don't need you.
I don't think the Brain really gave up.
Yeah, like, that's how it works.
He was, like, missing his mouth for years. Like,
people either...
Sounds like he kind of hung
they're
out.
They're fighters and they're heroes, or they lose their fight with illness. And in that sense, they're a coward. That's just how the world works.
Hmm.
I didn't make the rules. I'm just following them.
Is that Vince McMahon's rules?
Yeah.
Is he going to bury that Connor kid once he finds... Oh, I think he did die.
Oh, yeah. That kid's definitely dead. Mary flung his corpse into a pile or whatever. I'm sure they got like a whole pile of cancer kids over there in the WWE now.
Oh.
They're cycling through them.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, what do they keep in the warehouse there?
I don't know. I saw they had
next to the original blue bar cage.
They had one fat one coming out on Raw the other day. He seemed like a real little badass because he just had that Susan G. Komen, you know, pink ribbon breast cancer shirt with just the pink ribbon circled and crossed out. I was like, hell yeah, little chubby little cancer survivor. You're making some political statements there.
Damn.
Sticking it to Stephanie McMahon right in her craw.
That's pretty, wow.
So shout out to that kid, whoever I saw, shared on social media. Like I said, this is how things work. People share things on social media. That's how you promote
your shit. You don't watch anything these days. You just figure it all out on social media.
You don't have to watch anything because if something happens, people are going to complain about it on social media.
But you are going to watch the Emmys later.
They still do those?
Yeah.
How many is WWF one for Raw at this point?
72, I would assume.
That makes a lot of sense. They do a lot of good work over there.
Netflix has led the way with like 100 nominations this year or something stupid like that.
Have they made anything good?
That's my point.
I guess people like Glow okay.
Yeah, but...
But that's nothing special, that show.
For every one or two halfway decent things that Netflix churns out, there's literally 300 other things that are
garbage.
Just unwatchable.
Pure garbage. And also, it's just like, it just essentially gets thrown into a pile and forgotten about on that Netflix interface. Like, who can ever keep track of what's on there? Or...
Shame on all you who are still Netflixing and chill, like... Don't like
now.
Give me Hulu if you're gonna like actually watch TV or something like that. Other than that, you know, you can just watch movies. You can order a service on whatever your tastes are, like Shudder.
Yeah. Classic.
We
Netflix
love the Shudders
DVD in the mail. That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
Send me some Russ Corman, just like just trash. Just Roger Corman, rather Russ Meyer.
Yeah.
Got those two guys combined into one guy.
What are you?
Either way, made a lot of trashy movies. Big boobied women.
What are
you?
You
can get them all sent to you on DVD through that classic Netflix in the mail service.
Every time I...
There's a lot of trash on Amazon Prime streaming, too.
Yeah, that's cool. Like get yourself
pure,
Amazon. Get
dirty,
that.
Dirty, gross...
Oh, yeah.
70s.
Sexploitation shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I love all that shit. If they got the cheerleaders... I got to find out. That's one of my favorites, man.
Oh, they got all sorts
of stuff.
It's
like 76, 78.
Both Big Bad Mama movies.
So. Oh, man.
Slim Pickens over on Netflix if you want anything that's not like straight-to-video crap from 2 years ago.
Is it too late for us to reboot this show or too early for us to reboot
it's
this
show?
It's
probably just about time.
Where we just cover 70s sexploitation films and review them? I mean, we could keep the name.
Gonna be a lot less effort, I think, watching one of those every week than it is watching one of these fucking episodes of pro wrestling.
Well, I'd say,
quite frankly,
you know, we're watching two or three of those movies anyways a week.
It's just whittled me down to nothing.
Yeah.
Just, well, you wrote it down to a little stub of a man at this point, sitting through this pro wrestling.
I'm going to use that little segue there because that's great setup for what we just went through over this wondrous warm weekend.
It's time to do a rundown of what we went through. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. Live through this.
Okay. Rundown.
Holes live through this.
This week it was supposed to be brought to us by new film in theaters, The Predator. Directed by Shane Black, co-written by Fred Decker, the man who he co-wrote the Monster Squad with. Great little team. Did a lot of great stuff in the 80s. But I saw it last night, and it's a shit show.
Oh, no.
It's a real fucking shit show. It's like three or four movies they try to cobble together into one movie, and it's just a big mess, and it makes no sense, and just plot holes everywhere. It makes no sense how characters get from place A to place B.
Or do they like, use
they
any
have
of that
information
music?
They're not supposed to have, and there's clearly just all sorts of essential scenes cut out. And
do they use any of that music, though?
No, there's nothing.
It's because that pedophile was in all those important scenes, and they had to cut those.
I don't think that's
you can't show pedophiles on TV. You know, Amanda, you know what I'm saying.
200
reasons. Oh, yeah, unless it's to catch a predator.
She's like sneaking around. She's getting very good at this these days. So instead of that, I threw their money in the toilet and flushed it. I'm not going to accept it.
You don't take no pedo money.
We're not going to promote The Predator because it sucks. It's a bad product. Instead, we're going to promote classic Fred Decker movie, Night of the Creeps, Underseen.
Ooh.
You want a movie about space aliens coming and wreaking havoc? 1986, Night of the Creeps. Space slugs getting people's brains, turn them into killers.
The night of the formal is finally here for Chris, Cindy, and JC. It's going to be the best night of their lives. But tonight is also the night of the creeps. From a world unknown comes a nightmare unimagined. First, they are under you, around you, on you, and then inside you.
They get in through your mouth and you walk around while they incubate, even if you're dead.
They are a new breed of terror.
Hey!
They are a different kind of horror.
Zombies, exploding heads, creepy crawlies. We could have a little problem.
The creeps are taking over.
Got good news and bad news, girls.
What?
The good news is your dates are here.
What's the bad news?
They're dead.
You have never had a night like this. Night of the creeps. If you scream, you're dead.
And then also, I'm going to shout out a little love to Shane Black's The Nice Guys from a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the most purely entertaining action films of the
last
10 years.
Yeah.
Not enough people went to see it.
Munich. What? Guy without his balls. It's Munich.
Munich is a city in Germany. München, Munich. Yeah.
Right. Hitler only had one ball.
Also,
so don't go see The Predator this weekend. Just stay home and watch Night of the Creeps and also The Nice Guys.
And if you're really in the mood for a 80s Night of Horror Fest, throw Night of the Comet in there too.
Oh, Night of the Comet has got some sexy 80s
love
bitches
that
in it.
One.
Good stuff. So this rundown brought to us by all that
break
good stuff.
But break it down.
Is what are we?
I thought it'd be cool if we used like the DX music when we do the rundown.
World Championship Wrestling. Suck it. April
2nd, 1988. Turn it up. Yeah.
First match. We got the Fantastics in there versus Alan Martin and Keith Steinborn. Fantastics win with the Fantastic Rocket Launcher. Sting is in our second match versus our boy Big Bear Collie.
Oh, the Sting?
Strapping lad. All Sting splashing the Scorpion. You know how that goes. Next match, the Sheepherders in there versus Rocky King and Larry Stevens. Sheepherders win it with their double gut buster. Double A, Arn Anderson out there to prove a point versus a man named Art Pritz. Art crits.
More on that later.
Double A wins with a spine buster.
That's a tease.
Road Warriors versus Joe Cruz and the luchador El Negro. I looked down just to type their names. And yeah. When I looked up, the match was already over.
Yeah. Which is
Road Warriors win it.
El Negro is one of the highest flyers of the highest flyers, you know?
I caught him hitting the ground, so I guess he must have flew at some point.
Not high enough, man.
Ronnie Garvin and Jimmy Garvin, the brother duo in there versus Ryan Wagner and Steve Atkinson. Jimmy gets the pin with a pretty decent-looking brainbuster.
Yeah.
Probably the best thing I've ever seen Jimmy Garvin do. Al Perez, that Latino Lothario in there versus high-flying old man out of control, Mike Jackson. Regrettably, Perez takes the win with his spinning toe hold. The Midnight Express in there versus Tony Suber and Trent Knight. The Midnight's win with the real rocket launcher.
Oh, I'm already lost in my
head. Oh, we're still going. Varsity Club.
I can't keep
all three of them. They're in there versus Bob Roode, George South, and Larry Davis. David. That would be hilarious, but it didn't happen. Larry Davis. Pretty sure. I don't know. Sullivan got the win somehow. This is the second match I tapped out in for the night. Complaining to it completely.
Ooh.
Had a second win, came back, tapped out a second time.
Wow.
This show really did me in.
Took a lot out of you.
Finally, the last match, Ivan Koloff versus Curtis. I guess I wrote Curtin, but that makes no sense.
Yeah, no, it was Curtin
is
Thompson.
Not a man's name.
No, he's like a mafia guy. It's Curtin's for you. Okay. See, Curtin's
decent gimmick.
He used to kill everybody.
Yeah, it didn't get him too far though. Koloff wins with the sickle, pretty quick.
When'd you watch this? Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
I watched this Friday night.
Okay,
it's been a while now. It's been a few days. It's not fresh in my memory,
but
looking back at these notes, it's a new fresh hell, remembering what I put myself through.
Did you get as drunk as I did Saturday?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. All right.
I got standard drunk, I feel like.
Oh, man. I was drinking out in the sun all day.
Yeah.
Drinking beers all day.
Uh-huh. I was just at work all day.
Took an hour to drink two bottles of water and then met you at the bar.
You did show up already kind of... in a mood.
Yeah, I was ready to party, bro.
Actually, it was sandwiched between you and fall off the stool drunk Molly. I kind of felt really sober on Saturday night.
Yeah.
For a change, I'm sure I got toasted by the end of the night.
By the end, we seemed like
I hit a nice level. A
couple of charming individuals, you know?
Yeah, and then the next day...
I couldn't get that after bar chili. That's how drunk I was.
Oh, wow, that's a tragedy.
Yeah.
Next day, I just sweated all that stuff out and did good.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know?
I just slept till 2.
Just got to come back at it. Just got to get back up and get back out there and do it.
You're a real motivation to us all, man.
I got to say, not really.
You're the John Cena
today,
of living.
I've done nothing but nap, quite frankly. I was up all night last night.
This is your cheat day.
Just tossing and turning.
Yeah.
Finally made about like 10 o'clock this morning. I like dozed off, I guess. Because at 10:30, the Hausfrau comes, she's knocking on my window.
That's weird.
I'm like, what's going on with this? So I go and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? And she's like, oh, I locked my keys in my car like a dum-dum. I need you to let me in the house.
Yeah.
I was like, great day you picked to knock on my window and wake me up a half an hour after I fucking fell asleep.
I had a bad sleep.
I've done nothing. It's like the afternoon. I've done fucking nothing.
I had a bad sleeping night as well.
This is just a terrible, terrible day for us.
Weird, I wasn't really awake, but I was like kind of asleep.
Oh,
and then I hear things.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, nope, that was in my head.
Was that
and
a spooky door
reality.
Creak?
Yeah. Like,
was it chains rattling?
I heard weird vibrations, and then I heard a baby laughing, and then it was like...
Ooh. You're having some Trainspotting-esque withdrawal symptoms.
Yeah, yeah. Anytime like I have like weird like can't sleep right things, I go like hard into like hearing like creepy shit that doesn't make sense.
That's a little bit spookifying.
But enough about that. Let's get into what wasn't weird. It was just boring.
All right.
And that is this episode.
Or we could just skip it. I mean, I'm
probably
going to fall asleep anyways.
More entertaining talking about other shit.
But. Number one. What's your number one in this?
I'm going
count?
To Flair, all the way to Flair. You got anything before that? Let me know.
I don't even know when that was. Do you know how long my notes are for these 14 matches?
Not
just do
long.
It, and we won't keep it in order, or we will keep it in order.
Yeah, all right.
Let's see how it hashes out.
So here's Flair. He comes out. He's cutting a promo. It's a great cocky Flair heel promo where he beat Sting on a technicality.
This is coming back to me now.
Yeah, they went 45 minutes. They went the distance. And none of that shit really matters because we all know that Flair's a great wrestler. And we all know that Flair's a great talker. The real important part of this segment was when he brought out his dick pills with him.
So is that what I was led to believe this was? Because I thought he was just popping trucker speed.
Hard to say. Hard to say.
I think this is a little bit before the invention of dick pills. So my guess was just the prescription bottle that he pulled out and started popping pills in his mouth out of?
He had what was called Formula 1 and Formula 2, I think is what it was described as.
I rewound it a little bit because I was like, did I miss him telling us what this is or why he's doing it? Or did he just flat out, apropos of nothing, start popping pills on live television?
I think so. So he comes out with the bottle and he's talking to fucking Davy Crockett, bragging about how he's the All Night Express. And he's like, you know, it was fucking Clash of the 60 Champions.
60 minutes with Sting at that Clash.
He's like, everybody's like
45 minutes
pissing their pants because it's a big night. You know what he did the night before? He fucked some five different women, I think he
said. Women?
Yeah. I think he said five women.
You're going to probably need a nice speedball, a trucker speed, and dick pill.
Yeah, Flair, I got it in my notes. Flair doing drugs and five women all night. And then shows up to the fucking Greensboro, Green Hill, Green whatever, Coliseum. And goes 45 minutes, the limit, with Sting, because he can.
What a guy.
And then...
and it'll never catch up with me.
He does want
to live forever.
Forever. You hear me, baby Jesus? My dad will never die. He eats one of these pills on screen, but instead of just like swallowing it, he's like, I'm going to chew it up.
Yeah.
And it looks like one of those like giant 500 milligram.
Dude's fucking popping horse
chalky
pills.
Like aspirins. Like,
he's
which,
out of his mind.
Which wouldn't be a problem except for the fact that like Flair always gets cotton mouth
in
his promos.
Very true. A little spittle buildup in the corners of his mouth.
It was really hard like trying to watch like a senior citizen eat like an early bird special, like doing that whole like chewing on nothing
it
for like 10
half
minutes.
As gross as that picture from his wedding, everybody's passing around this week.
Oh, him
where
tongue
him and his
kissing
wife just
Fifi?
Have their tongues down each other's throats.
That's awesome,
full
though.
Full view, tongues everywhere.
You know he's doing weird butt stuff
you, like,
to her still to this day.
I think like four different people have sent me that picture. I'm just like, I just got over my nausea from the last time I saw it. Quit sending me this picture, people.
Like, you know they're doing weird sex stuff together.
He's just so leathery and creepy looking at this point. He's just this little wrinkled up creature.
Yeah.
And it's just his gross lizard tongue.
He kind of,
squirming around.
He kind of looks, from the profile, a little bit like a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
I can see that for
kinda
sure.
Kind of looks like fucking Dennis Hopper. I was just going to
put it in that direction. Yeah. He's not quite a Goomba, but once Dennis Hopper transitions into Bowser towards the end of that fucking weird movie.
Do you know what I love about mud? It's clean and it's dirty at the same time.
So yeah, anyways, we watched Flair eat a pill for 5 minutes.
That was one of my points too, because I was fucking shocked once he just started popping pills. And then when his promo was over, he tossed the whole bottle to Davy Crockett. Because
he said he's talked to some women and they've all said he needs those.
That guy's gonna, you know, he's gonna be out there hanging and banging all night
but
in the hotel
then,
bars.
To make matters worse, Shivani piles in on him. And he's like, yeah, you need those pills, Dave. Have fun with those pills, Dave. And it's like, Shivani, who are you, man? You couldn't even...
pretty infamous for getting plastered with the Horsemen back in this period.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think probably he's looking a little chunky in this episode, too, I was noticing. Yeah. I was like, this must be like the height of him, like following around the Horsemen all night. He's got the little double chin going.
Yeah, I'll hang out with you guys.
His suit coat's barely buttoning in the front.
I'll have sex with that fat girl.
Pretty bloated, Shivani. Maybe you need to go home early with old Davy Crockett. Just a couple nights a week. Backing up a little bit.
Okay.
Another one of my points is just that Fantastics match during it.
Yeah.
I loved how much they were putting over, how out of control the hatred between the Fantastics and the Midnight Express are, and how they're so heated and they're so crazy after their big brawl to Clash of the Champions that it might ruin the entire Crockett Cup, this big tag team tournament we got going up. How are these teams going to be able to in this straight up just sporting event, this gentleman's event, this tournament. This blood feud's going on right in the middle of it. It might tear the entire tournament apart. And for the first time,
there's a million
after
bucks on the line.
Them talking
bro.
About it for, I don't know, a couple months at this point, I'm a little bit intrigued to see what goes on in the Crockett Cup.
But
finally.
But not enough.
And not enough. And yeah. I doubt it's going to be televised. Yeah. So it'll probably just be talked about forever. And then we won't even see it play out.
We won't even know if it is passed.
That was generally how their weirdo business model was working at this point. They hadn't quite figured out they were a television company yet.
Oh, speaking of like weird, stupid WCW championships that don't matter.
I was speaking about that, yeah. I
want to give a shout out to our friends, Mempho Brand Tees out of Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
They're selling
a cross promotion here.
A Bull of the Woods t-shirt.
Synergy. Oh, that's that shirt you wanted. Now you've got an outlet.
I wanted the belt buckle, but yeah, I'll settle on a fucking shirt, man.
Yeah, let me maybe get just like to let a people Kickstarter know. Going for somebody to start pressing those belt buckles.
Oh man.
Get enough people signed on, they want a Bull of the Woods belt buckle.
Yeah, you're going to have to get a pewtersmith, somebody that works with fine metals.
Yeah, I'll start traveling around to all the local Renaissance fairs. I'll find somebody.
You'd think, but I couldn't find that fucking Scott Steiner headgear anywhere, man.
We finally found it towards the end of the day, but it took a scouring of that entire Renaissance fair. And then you decided, like, hey, I'm just going to buy the $30 Amazon instead of buying this like $200 one here at this Renaissance fair.
All y'all make
Either way,
sure.
By next year, we're going to have Scott Steiner headdresses.
Tune in.
So.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
No big whoop.
My number two, and this is just a quick good job.
Uh-huh.
Congratulations.
Little tool time. Salute to who this year?
Salute.
Or this week?
To the sheep herders.
To the sheep herders, okay.
They had a tag match.
Cone Johnny Ace.
That wasn't 50 minutes of them beating people up for no reason.
Oh, okay.
It was pretty quick to the point. They even let Rocky King get over a minute of offense to start the match. And then they took
Rocky
over
King,
it.
Rocky King, he's got potential. One of these days.
Larry Stevens got in the ring, kind of did a thing for 30 seconds. They quickly cut that off.
This is the first match that I tapped out in, if I remember correctly.
It wasn't good.
I stopped paying attention to it pretty quickly on. I think that was more my fault than what was actually going on in the ring. Yeah. I think I just didn't want to be watching wrestling on a Friday night.
Here's the problem, and the really bad ones you don't fall asleep in. It's the ones that are okay.
Yeah, right there in the
middle. If they're passable, like... Yeah, this is wrestling. There's something about it that just kind of like lulls you into like this.
Certainly
this
does.
Sense of just like the comfortable.
Squeaks of the ring. The shrieks of the hillbilly and the fans. All just meld into a gentle soundscape.
Wrestling.
Of sleazy, weird shit from the 80s.
And then the interview happened and they were like, Whoa! That's how they talk.
See, I did when the interview was happening, there's a nice little juxtaposition. Of this interview where they're screaming everything like morons. And the interview we saw last week from 1993 on that Smack 'em Whack 'em, screaming everything. But this one much better because even though the delivery is actually the same, they're like screaming mean stuff about how much they hate everybody instead of just screaming like, oh, Cousin Luke, oh, the little kids love us so much.
Yeah.
And it's just like sheep herders as bad guys. So much better than Bushwhackers as just like friend to children comedy good guys.
Bushwhackers
so much better.
Come across as like that handicapped relative that like may or may not have touched one of the young cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh,
sheep herders are more like that methed out relative who
that you
did
know.
Touch one of the cousins and had to go away to jail for it for a couple years.
Yeah.
And for me, that's just a much more effective wrestling character.
Yeah, I like my shit black and white, you know, like the stripes that they're wearing in the Huskow.
Uh-huh. So I'm up to a number three here.
What was your number two?
It was what I was about with that last one. Mm. We were both going to do Flair,
so
that takes care of one of mine.
Yeah, we can't even keep
my
track.
Number three, I just wrote, hey, Matt, your Prince of Darkness match is still happening.
Yeah.
Remember a couple weeks ago, we were so worried
that
Prince of Darkness match was supposed to be at the Clash and it got canceled?
Yeah.
Now they're talking about that again. It's coming back. And I got a little two-parter to this one because, I was very happy to hear the Prince of Darkness match still upcoming. Jimmy Gavin versus
Jimmy Gavin,
our boy Kevin Sullivan in the Prince of Darkness match, and then they talked about it twice And Tony Schiavone really stepping up to the plate, I thought, later on when they were starting to talk about it during that Varsity Club match where he said,
yeah.
My question is, what is a Prince of Darkness match?
Ooh.
And I was like, good fucking question, yeah. Tony. And then JR responded, I'm sure we'll be addressing that at some point in the future. And I was like,
fuck you,
you know
JR.
What, JR?
That's a bold-faced lie.
Yeah, I don't have much faith that that's the case. Tony Schiavone asking the real question.
I got a number three, and it's my guy Art Pritz versus Arn Anderson.
Okay.
I'm going to get the business out of the way here. You ready? I'm going to get the business out of the way.
I'm talking about this one, too.
Arn Anderson does a great job. He's coming off of a loss. He looks pissed off.
Reestablished that.
He beats the fuck.
It's not going to happen again. There's not going to be another loss. I'm still double A.
He beats the fuck out of Art Pritz, throws him to the outside, punching his head against the concrete, which is just a good look.
Felt a little bad.
Throws
for
him
Mr.
back
Pritz.
In, just ends it quickly. He's like, I'm just done. And then, like, Dave Crockett. I didn't like the fucking set of marbles on Crockett in this episode. He kept trying to call people out.
He was.
And then it was like no selling when people were being heels.
Basking in the glory of being friends with the wrestlers too much on camera in this episode. Like, it's something he always. Does but it's usually
he's really
usually does it more to
it.
The good guys like this week it was clearly like he forgot that like he's supposed to not like the
you
heels
put
he's
over
like,
heels,
oh there's
pal.
My buddy Arn Anderson
yeah you made fun of me but you're just
he's real
goof.
Cool he
you're
lets me talk goof. To him sometimes after the show
and he's like oh he's like even like fucking like teasing him like oh boo-hoo like you lose oh you mad you mad come at me bro
slap the taste out of that fucker's mouth
and Arn
Dusty
like,
did it last week and nothing happened to him
Arn matter-of-factly is just like, I ain't mad, bro. I'm intense. That's what this fucking look is. I'm coming back for my belt.
The kids these days, they call it butt hurt.
Yeah.
He Arn wasn't. Anderson's coming in there butt
he
hurt.
Wasn't. He's like, I'm intense, dude. He's like, I'm not going to make an excuse. I lost. We lost, all right? But we won 365 days out of the year.
Yep. One loss. Does not erase all those wins.
Let's see you do it, motherfucker.
Still the horseman. Getting ready to
still
get our belts
best.
Back. It was a real intense, really just like awesome classic AA promo that I could not take remotely seriously because why was Arn Anderson's hair so blonde?
Yeah, that was weird.
It's like this week, some sort of like, I don't know, he tried something, some sort of little attempt at making himself look younger or something.
He put a little lemon in his hair and then laid out.
4 or 5 wisps of old man hair still on the top of his head here in 1988. Tried to do some sun in or something, and he just looked fucking ridiculous.
He did. Like
I was just staring.
It was like combed forward into like bangs.
He's trying to comb over, trying to bleach it like he was fucking the new Flair or something.
And it's nuts because like
I was like, no, you're the dad of the group, Arn.
He looks like 45 years old right
Absolutely.
And I'm fairly certain he's younger than we are.
Oh, sure.
At this point.
Yeah.
Like he's like
mid
to late 20s here.
Oh, for sure.
Like he was only like
never looked it. At no point in his life did
he
ever
like
fucking look it.
43 when he had to retire.
He was one of those guys who just 45 his entire life.
Oh,
no matter if he's 20,
time.
No matter if he's 60,
the
just
entire
always
time.
45. Except for this week when he tried to make himself look younger. By bleach blonde in his fucking hair.
Willow and the Wisps.
Surfer Sting.
So
lighting the territory on fire.
Well, it works for Sting. I'm
trying to ride those coattails. No, Arn, you need to darken that shit up a little bit. Just don't try to hide your bald. It's not a bald spot. Most of your head is fucking bald.
It's just thinned hair, sir.
Lean into your dad bod, buddy. Yeah. If anything, fluff up your chest hair some.
Hell yeah.
Comb that belly hair.
So this isn't even what I wanted to talk about. I got the real part.
I couldn't get past the blonde. That's all I could think
of. I'm
going to
give
you segment.
The real scoop on this match. Mm-hmm. It's so important. I'm going to open a beer here. There we go. It's open.
All right.
Who did he fight?
Ready for it. He's in there versus Art Pritz.
And you had a little good time with that name earlier,
didn't
you?
It's a fun name. Art.
You ready for it to get better?
Artie. Okay.
Art Pritz.
Yeah.
And this was used a lot in my childhood.
Wow.
You see,
going in the Wayback Machine.
You see, prit is the Greek word for fart.
That's hilarious.
This guy's
name's Art Fart.
Art Farts is his name in Greek.
When I was at camp, my favorite activity was always arts and crafts, or as we used to call it, arts and farts and crafts. We used to make drawings. Cave drawings. Which is my way of saying we were cavemen. I went to camp so long ago that I can remember saying sticks and stones may break my bones and meaning it. I went to camp so long ago that fucking Jesus Christ was my counselor and my best friend hadn't fully evolved yet. His name was Ugg and he walked on all fours. There were two epidemics when I went to camp. Head lice and the plague. The bubonic plague.
Pritz.
Weird.
It's a fun word. You're going to use it.
Definitely not going to remember that.
You'll remember next time he comes up in a match. Oh, what's a four? I got a four here. Okay. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
It's the fucking Garvins versus Ryan Wagner and Steve Atkinson.
Who could pay attention to that match?
My question was, well, apparently you didn't, but I did.
No, I did not.
Ron Garvin just comes into the match just doing a fucking technical showcase of mat holds and stretch maneuvers for no reason.
Good for him. Stone hands Ronnie Garvin. Again. Taking it to the mat.
Who's booking this shit? And who let Garvin go out there for 10 minutes and go into business for himself, stretching out some poor old man?
There's time to fill.
Just so his brother could dump the guy on his head and get a quick 1, 2, 3.
I did wake up during that brainbuster.
Yeah, it made no sense, man. Like, Ronnie was just going into business for himself.
These guys are cardboard and, like, just so uninteresting. And it sort of makes sense for Ronnie because, like, his character is just kind of, he's cardboard and uninteresting, like a tense little mean old man. But Jimmy Garvin's whole character is that he's this, like, flamboyant rocker wild man, and he still just bores the shit out of me.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, can I think of a more boring wrestler whose gimmick was being like the flamboyant party boy, like in all of the history of wrestling? I don't think there is one.
I'm trying. There's got to be somebody in that, like, attitude era.
Even, like, Dolph Ziggler at least bumps all over the ring.
That's true. Yeah. He's close, though.
He's pretty close
at really
this point.
He's really close.
He's reaching Jimmy Garvin territory from what I can tell.
He's just, like, the internet used to be all about that guy for a minute.
There now was even a moment there where it seemed like maybe he could step up and, like, become something. And then
they all kind of wanted him to be the next Shawn Michaels.
And then he just kept doing what he was doing, flipping his hair a little bit and kind of looking cocky, and that was his entire character.
Now poor fucking Drew McIntyre stuck with him.
Just like an anchor around his Scottish neck.
What, do you got another one?
I got one more. My number five.
Five, whatever.
It's just real quick. Matters. It's just watching that Al Perez match against Mike Jackson.
Yeah,
flat
no
out,
had to.
No joke. 100% serious. This isn't hyperbole whatsoever. If I was booking this show, if I was in charge of this territory at this point, I would be putting Mike Jackson over Al Perez. This guy at least has some fire in the ring. He's at least got some personality, even though he looks like a stupid old man. There's something you can do with him. Tell the story that he's like an old man, just like in over his head, but trying for one last shot of glory before he has to retire. Al Perez, there's nothing. There's nothing to do with him. He is stone-faced, methodical, boring, nothing, no potential. Get him off the TV.
Yeah.
Quit giving him wins, especially over people like Mike Jackson.
My God, is he handsome.
Solid little weird old man worker.
Yeah. You could give him, like, the pseudo-wrestler storyline, like the movie The Wrestler, where, like, he's been doing it for too long, and, like, he's got an estranged family because he's just sacrificed so much of his personal life to wrestling.
A nice little vignette about his kids being too poor to, like, get lunches
and
to go to school.
And they just want nothing to do with him because
he's
like,
just got to get one W to get that paycheck so they don't lose the trailer.
He just wants to prove it to himself. He wants to prove it to his kids that, you know, he can do this.
Put me
he can really
back
do
in
this.
Time in charge of 1988 NWA wrestling. I'm starting to get convinced Mike Jackson might be my top babyface.
At least drop a secondary strap on him. You got 80 of them.
I could at least build to a brief program with him and Flair. Like, give him one big title match with Flair.
Right?
I mean, he could hang. He could hang in there with Flair.
People would go nuts, man. If you're, like, the plucky underdog, like, this guy, like, has no business and he's made it to fucking Flair.
Al Perez, who's he being built towards? Dusty, maybe? He keeps mentioning Dusty.
I don't know. That's
Dusty
the problem.
Dusty now, Perez. Nobody
everybody
wants to see it.
Everybody fucking mentions Dusty. Everybody mentions everybody. There's all right, no
baby,
fucking...
you're going to go out here. I need you to cut this promo. Mostly, though, always be talking about Big Dust. That's always, the number one rule.
I was talking about how bad you want to get at me, but you just can't get to me.
If ever there's a time when Poochie is not on the wrestling show, the other wrestlers should be asking,
hey,
where is Poochie?
Where's Poochie? That's a meme right there.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's a meme in the making. You load just, up my Photoshop.
You summed up all
I got work
of
to
Dusty
do.
Rhodes.
I got work yeah. to do.
So I got a 5.
Okay, let's cap it all off here.
And it is literally...
a scintillating episode.
It
cap
is,
it all
it
off.
It is everything after everything that's after Midnight Express versus Tony Subur and Trent Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Because that match ended, and I was like, okay, they got on TV. There's clearly enough time for one more thing to happen.
Okay.
And then the one more thing happened, and it was the Varsity Club, and I was like, all right, this is how we're going to end the show. And
Sullivan,
then they did their little
Sullivan
thing.
Sullivan cut a pretty decent promo about fucking Jimmy Garvin's old lady this week.
At least
this
it
may
made
be the best
sense.
Sullivan promo I've seen.
But like, oh, God, him in the ring made me
I
so mad.
I had a first Jimmy Garvin.
I got my pita real hot, and then I put it inside a... I got my pita real hot,
not
Jimmy Garvin.
Kevin Sullivan's Peter.
Yeah, I bet he calls it that, too.
Yeah, that's definitely, like, that's the generation of men who called it a Peter.
Yeah. I think I like Kevin Sullivan now just because of that. Either way, just
coming
watching
full circle.
That fucking idiot in there with the Varsity Club, those two goofs in their college singlets, and then fucking
they're great.
Doughy, bald, blonde-haired, no pads, black trunks, black boots, fucking Kevin Sullivan,
big
you
toe
fucking
of a man.
Idiot. So I'm like,
move.
Okay.
Low center of gravity, good for wrestling.
And I'm like, okay, good, it's over with, he's done.
Thank
Turns
God.
Out Precious's name is Patty with an I, that's mm-hmm. great, you banged her, let's call it
you
over.
You call
it
Precious, I call it Patty.
And then they were like, and here comes Ivan Koloff, and I'm like, no!
He's not even in a feud
no!
with anybody right now.
Why?
And what's the point of this?
It didn't even hit me. At first I was thinking Nikita Koloff, and I was like, ah, oh, they're just fucking shoehorning in his return, whatever,
nope.
blah, blah, blah.
Nope.
And then I realized, like, no, this is the fucking
One
Russian bear, like,
of the six-man tag team champions.
That never gets fucking defended. Like,
just wrestling a throwaway match against
Christ.
A jobber for no reason.
And then what's his tits cutting an interview afterwards? Paul,
Paul
think of
Jones.
His name. Yeah, and he's, Powers of Pain are receded number one. And fucking Big Balls Crockett's like, they're number 5, you bitch.
Just ending your...
They're number 5, you bitch.
Ending your episode on a high note, just for some reason, completely past these people. Like, they can't clue into that whatsoever.
No.
Like, hey, maybe,
I don't know how wrestling
maybe we
works,
start
man.
Off the episode hot, and then we end it on a high note. So, like, people go away wanting more. It always just ends randomly
there
with
was
something
that
should be in the middle of the show that serves no purpose.
I'm telling you, I can count, because we've watched... We're fucking 4 months in now. We've watched 4 months of this shit. There was two fucking shows they had that ended the right way.
Yeah.
And it was their big, like, start of the year live spectacular where they were like, we don't even have time. It's chaos. Like, oh, no, wait. No, there's still something after that, I think.
Probably.
I think they fucked up on that
Maybe
one.
There was
so
one.
There's one. It's
Maybe
the one where the fucking Fantastics and the Midnight Express tore the entire set down and then they ended the show. That's it.
Somebody making all these TV shows, and they've been making TV shows for so many years, you think would have figured out just the basics of making a TV show at this point. But no, and they never will. Moral of the story.
Tell you what,
yeah.
We're going to take a break. We're going to pay some bills here, and
Hopefully.
We're going to talk about something not too Gentile.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Welcome to Chunkamania! Rowdy Roddy Piper eats chunky chili beef soup with a fork.
Fork!
Paul, Mr. Wonderful Orndorff, uses a spoon.
Spoon! Fork!
Let's find fork. Out who rules. New chunky chili beef with big chunks of beef. The soup that eats like a meal. Fork or spoon, it's awesome!
I'm Captain Lou Albano talking to you about drugs. Kids, don't be afraid to say no. Anyone that asks you to use drugs is not your friend. Drugs can and will kill. Remember, don't be afraid to turn to your priest, your rabbi, your minister, your moms, your dads, your teachers, because drugs can kill. And if you do drugs, you go to hell before you die. Please.
Bangarang.
Think we could get Mickey Knuckles on our show?
I don't know how much it would cost to air out my house afterwards if we were to get her.
You immediately went smell. Yeah. That's where my head was the whole damn time.
Think about Mickey Knuckles, and I think about those old IWA Mid-South shows we'd be to, and instantly I think about thinking to myself, I bet that girl's real smelly.
Y'all don't understand. Like we went to the Ring of Honor shows and shit, and everybody's... Well, not everybody, but they're still...
Everybody.
They're a business.
Everybody
now.
Knows.
Everybody wanting to suck that New Japan dick goes to those Ring of Honor shows because it's the closest they're going to get.
Yeah, but, New Japan Light. It's a nice little niche they've carved for themselves.
Sure.
They don't have to be a real wrestling promotion because we just have these guys in often enough that we make money.
What's his nuts? Fucking Kerry whatever from Ring of Honor.
Kerry Silken.
Yeah.
Owner of Ring of Honor.
Former owner. Jesus Christ, do you ever read any of his social media posts?
I think we follow him on our Baby Oil and Blow Instagram account.
Do.
I see it every once in a while. It's mostly just him, like, sucking dick.
And about as literate as a third grader. Good fucking God.
I saw that. I think it's mostly just, like, him posting pictures of wrestlers that have worked for him that are now successful. See what I'm a part of?
No, read the read his like comments he puts there. He's like, I am so good and to be here to use the guy I do like you.
He's a wrestling man.
Jesus Christ, how many
illiterate people do you think have promoted wrestling throughout the years? I'm sure it's more than people who could read good. That's for damn sure.
Damn, like...
What do you think Dusty Rhodes' notebooks looked like? I'm sure they were a mess.
No way.
He wrote in Lisp.
You think
so? I have it on good authority.
Oh,
THs in every word he'd write down.
Either way, I want...
Indecipherable.
I want Mickey Knuckles in your house. Is she still wrestling?
She's got to be dead or wrestling, one of the two.
She's got to be wrestling.
We just binged it during our break, and we confirmed that Ian Rotten is still alive and is still trying to promote IWA Mid-South shows.
Staple Gun came along when I was at home on one of my many, many suspensions.
Many?
Many. And I was stapling down some carpet pad.
You figured, hey.
And I was like, this would fucking work.
That's great.
True story. And then one day the dude, what's his name? Fucking, he was Axel Rotten's partner. He got Paulie fired him like years ago. And he was in the locker room crying like a big old bitch. Like, all I've ever done for you, and I've given up my life, and I've given up my body, and I've ruined relationships, and I've done this, and I've just been there for you, and you going to treat me like this, you're going to fire me. What was Axel's partner's name?
Ian.
Him!
Yeah.
He was crying, I mean, like a bitch. He was like, Paulie. And Paulie walked up to him and turned his head around backwards. And Paulie did this shit, bro, and everybody in the locker room, it was like a domino effect. He said, you're fired! And Ian walked out the door crying. Mm. One day, Ian came up to me and said, Jack, you know why I used Staple Gun first? I said, shut the fuck up. I said, you non-working motherfucker. I said, you the prime example of a motherfucker that couldn't play in the big leagues when you started your own. Alright? I said, you a prime example. And I said, shut the fuck up.
Memphis, Indiana. Do you even know where that is?
Catch your elbow on something in that Civic Center and get tetanus-type wrestling shows.
For days. Just, woof.
And that was 10 years ago, back when he sort of had some buzz. Yikes. Like, I can't even imagine what the remnants of those shows are looking like these days.
I was
going to
say, what do you think the biggest... crowd we ever sat with at an IWA show?
A couple hundred, I think.
You think 100 at least?
I think for like the biggest ones he did, probably a couple hundred.
Oh, Jesus. He's literally...
Mm-hmm.
He's from the deep south.
Memphis, Indiana.
As Justin would say.
Yeah.
Just north of Louisville.
Oh, Louisville.
Louisville.
He couldn't even pay me to go to Memphis, Tennessee, let alone Memphis, Indiana. Fuck that.
It's got
to
be right up there with like when we went to Dayton for that Ring of Honor
show. Dayton, Ohio is by far the scariest town I've ever been in.
We saw a real-life baseball fury at a McDonald's.
Desolate. We drove around that downtown for a good 45 minutes looking for a business that was open. All we could find was one McDonald's.
And there was a baseball fury in there with a duffel bag of God knows what.
Desolate. Where were all the human beings?
It really looked like Escape from New York.
What is happening in Dayton, Ohio?
Oh, man. I know a lot of you mutants.
You're all chuds down there in Dayton?
Oh, yeah. I know you're going to, like, independent shows, but, like, treat yourself and travel out of your town to another town.
And then never go back.
And then just to see what it's like. Like, that was the best. Like, we had to drive a little bit to, like, Ring of Honor, but then we would go to those IWA shows, and those were, like, fucking west of O'Hare, like, weird. Mm-hmm. Nobody really lives here. There's just, like, factories and warehouses. And, man, that's where we saw that. The fucking Sawyer family and the old man eating the hot dog.
Weird stuff at low-end indie wrestling shows.
Yeah,
old men with one tooth using them to slice open the casing of a hot dog so he could suck out its innards.
You're going to do yourself a favor with this because these are stories that just transcend wrestling.
I'll be telling my grandkids about all the early 2000s shitty indie wrestling shows I went to.
Anybody I tell these stories to are just like, wow, like this is amazing shit. You're living like a storied, traveled life. And it's like, no, I'm just going to like stupid towns watching shitty wrestling. But people want to hear these stories, man. Go find these people. They're out there. Drink it in, man.
Indie wrestling shows, shitty indie wrestling shows. Do more shows on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
You're always doing it on Saturday nights. People have shit to do on Saturday nights.
Yeah.
I want to ease into a few more of these Sunday afternoon shows.
3-4 o'clock bell time.
Yeah, maybe I could carve a couple hours out of my afternoon to go to this thing.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
You're doing yourself no favor asking people to give up their weekend nights for your fucking garbage wrestling.
So you're hearing this on a Thursday. If you're anywhere near Louisville this weekend, Ian Rotten, IWA Mid-South.
Moral of the story.
They got the Ted Petty Invitational
going. That's
right.
They're still doing it.
I remember
they're still exploiting their friend's death for money.
I remember like the second Ted Petty, and that was
late 90s, I feel like.
A long time ago. So who fucking knows what one they're on now?
How much horse meat's still left on that corpse that they're beating?
For like fucking $0, you can go see fucking Impact Wrestling stars OVE, Jimmy Jacobs, the zombie princess, which I don't fucking get. I don't like any of that shit.
That's my sensibilities are not in line with calling yourself a princess.
Whatever the fuck he's doing, shame on all you for getting it over.
I support it.
Go back to just being in love with Lacey and writing love songs for her.
That was prime Jimmy Jacobs. There's no arguing that.
Put that guy on the map. And if you ain't familiar,
I feel like there's nothing to make it rednecks matter than calling yourself a princess, though. I support it.
That's
whole hog.
But he's like a zombie, too, and people like zombies.
Not me.
Shit or get off the pot, fucking loser.
Not since Return of the Living Dead. You can take all this new zombie crap, throw it in the toilet, poop on it.
Is that the one where...
flush it, motherfucker.
What's her face gets naked in the graveyard?
Linnea Quigley,
there we go.
They had to staple that fake... Because
she was bald. Bald pussy.
Yeah, she showed up with a bald pussy.
And the director and the producer are like, the fuck is that?
That wasn't quite a thing yet in the culture, so everybody was real wigged out by it.
Wigged out?
Fun
I like
stories.
What you did there.
Fun stories.
Yeah.
You ever fantasize about being killed?
Never.
Do you ever wonder about all the different ways of dying, you know, violently? And wonder, like, what would be the most horrible way to die?
I try not to think about dying too much.
Well, for me, the worst way would be for a bunch of old men to get around me and start fighting and eating me alive.
I see.
First, they would tear off my clothes.
Let's get some light over here. Crash is taking off her clothes again.
See, there was a time, peoples, when bald pussies really scared people.
Mm-hmm. And we need to go back to those times, because quite frankly, I don't get it. Give me a bush.
Yeah.
Something I could get lost in.
Yeah.
Want to do some exploring. That's what I'm in here for.
I like it when it trickles down to the thigh, that inner thigh.
Let's
bleep that out.
You just, and Ronald Reagan both.
Just burn that. Just
on that trickle-down platform.
Let's just dump that. Speaking of dumps.
Get into our three count.
Speaking of dumps.
We've wasted enough of this already wasted day of mine.
Big dump last night.
A big dump called Hell in a Cell. Famously, I didn't watch it.
Famously.
Heard the cell was red, though.
I did.
Matt watched it. He's not piping up much about what happened, so I'm going to guess it
nothing.
Was fucking nothing.
Nothing. Literally nothing happened.
So let's do a three count.
Ooh,
here.
Becky Lynch won the strap.
Let's imagine.
I couldn't fucking care less about those women's
wrestlers.
Let's
imagine some fake wrestling scenarios wherein things did happen. Hell in the Cell, what was it created? 96, 97, somewhere around there?
Oh, this was the 20th anniversary, 98.
All the way in 98?
Well, no, this was Mankind Undertaker.
Oh,
that was not
the
first.
So I'm going to say Bad Blood,
97
was probably Shawn Michaels Undertaker first Hell in a Cell match.
Probably 96 because they had a little more patience back then about holding off.
There you go. Either way, we're well into the 90s before the Hell in a Cell became a thing, and it's become one of the most iconic structures, one of the most iconic matches in wrestling, even though they do everything they can to drive it into the ground and make it meaningless these days.
Second only to the Elimination Chamber.
So back in the day, back in the 1980s, all we really had was a simple cage match to blow off these big feuds, and that was a big deal back then, but my question that I'm throwing out there for this week's three count is, what if the Hell in the Cell existed in the 1980s? What if it didn't take so long for it to come around? What if they built a big old demonic structure? Which famous feuds from the 1980s do you think could have benefited for being blown off inside the cell? What would have worked? Who do you want in there? Who do you want to see work the cell? I got some ideas. I came up with some fantasy scenarios that I think would have been real good.
Nate, I did as well.
You got three and I got three.
Yeah. This is going to be a good time.
Highlight of the night for me. After this,
three
take some cold medicine.
Three is my favorite number.
Slip into a stupor.
That'd be cool. Just stay out of the bathtub. That's how Dolores from the Cranberries died.
She's dead?
Zombie. Yeah, like a year ago.
Oh, wow.
Come on, man. My first one that I want to put on there, Horseman had to show up somewhere.
Absolutely.
Because horsemen love to interfere. And generally, whoever they were feuding with, that guy had people that were going to combat the horsemen.
Watching his back.
What a better way.
Quite frankly, it was Dusty. Dusty made everybody watch his back.
To keep everybody out and to keep two people in. And maybe, you know, action spills out on side. Mm-hmm. And you said one of the names, so I'm going to give it to the 86, 85 Gathering of the Juggalos. Dusty versus Flair.
Okay.
You would have put that bitch
it
in the Hell in a Cell?
It was a bloodbath of a card anyways. Everybody got juice on both sides in every match.
Yeah.
Why not end it with a fucking Hell in a Cell match?
Yeah, you had that bit. I debated on putting Tully and fucking Magnum in here.
Famous I Quit cage match.
It would have made sense, but you could have done... I didn't like that they had two cage matches here, so you could have had them in the cage.
Also, that one was badass enough anyways.
Yeah.
Like, it had its own thing
going
on.
It had its own thing. So you could have just had Dusty and Flair in the Hell in a Cell to keep everybody else out. You could have had all that wild action spilling out around the cage.
There you go.
Around the cage, people beating each other's asses. You don't need any big spots in this one. This could just be the Triple H Diesel of the Hell in a Cells.
It would be a little bit more entertaining than
Well, it's going to be more entertaining than that. But just, you know, those two idiots grinding their faces against... Cage.
That's what I'm picturing.
Banging their heads into shit and just bleeding fucking buckets of blood for no reason.
Maybe like a nice little twist to the Hell in a Cell format. You take that loaded cowboy boot of Dusty Rhodes and you hang it from the top of the cell.
Ooh.
Like, who's going to get up there and they're going to get that boot?
I'm sorry.
Famous boot that they built the entire buildup of that match around.
I'm sorry.
Just talking about that boot for 6 months.
Is Vince Russo booking this match in the 80s?
Could be. We're taking structures from the 90s back there. Why don't we take bookers back
there? Bro, we're going to put it in a Hell in a Cell, bro. And then we're going to put your boot on a pole in the corner, bro.
And then kill it dogs all the way to the side of the ring.
Dogs all around the ring inside.
Just humping
of
each other and
bro.
Shitting, dude.
It's just fucking humping and shitting.
It's Vince Russo's a moron.
He's pretty cool.
But Dusty and Flair inside the cage would have worked wonders. I was right there on the same page as you there. I was like, who, the Horsemen, if there was Hell in the Cells back in the 80s, the Horsemen are the people who would have thrived in it. So my number three, my idea is I'm just getting rid of War Games entirely.
Oh, yeah?
I'm having War Games matches happen inside the Hell in the
Cell.
Because War Games was a cool fucking visual.
Yeah.
But the matches never worked out as good as the visual.
With the whole, like, because wait a minute, get in the ring.
Yeah, the format was just like the coin flip, and the bad guys were always going to win, and they were always going to have the advantage through
it. It smelled way too NWA WCW. Uh-huh.
It just set up for every War Games match to be the exact same match over and over again. B, the two rings looked cool, but it was awkward, like, getting from one to the next more often than not.
Yeah.
B, the top of the cage, it's cool having an enclosed cage, but it was so low that, like, nobody could do anything. Like, nobody could do anything off the top rope. People are always hitting it. I'm saying just take all these teams, just Dusty and his friends, Dusty, the Road Warriors, Nikita, throw them in there, throw the Horsemen in there, in the Hell in the Cell, and just have tornado tag rules, all these guys crazy, beating the shit out of each other, and it would have made for actually better matches than the War Games matches ended up being, and the visual would have been just as cool. The Hell in the Cell looks just as cool as the War Games setup.
You could have done it.
So yeah, my idea, scrap War Games. It's always, you think it's going to be fun, but then it's always a little bit awkward.
Don't tell H.
Yeah, H has brought it back. Don't tell H. He's a real fucking NWA fanboy.
I got
a break. I'm doing jerk off motion with my hands right now. Right at you, Triple H. And then, ooh, I just flung some jizz at Steph.
You're the game boy. Right,
big Steph.
You're the game boy. That's my favorite British Bulldog promo.
That's a whole new three count.
You're the king,
take a solid
boy.
Week to try and whittle down all my favorite British Bulldog promos.
I got a number two.
Mm-hmm.
This match was one of the bloodiest, just fucking two guys hating each other, trying to kill each other in the ring at a very early time, and it was with a gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
But it could have been better with this gimmick that we call Hell in the Cell. And I'm taking the whole fucking, I don't care if it's the red cell, I don't care if it's the silver cell, I'm taking it in the way back to the machine to 1983 Starrcade. I'm putting Piper, I'm putting Greg the Hammer Valentine in that Hell in a Cell.
They already had a very, very bloody, entertaining, what was it, a bull rope match?
No, the dog collar.
Dog collar match, yeah. I remember them attached to each other.
And they're just fucking
let those guys play with the Hell in a Cell.
Piper's ear bleeding uncontrollably.
That was good,
like,
stuff. Who blades their ear?
They made just fucking magic at the time with just a dog collar match. If you tried to do that nowadays, people
dog collar matches
all over
always
that.
Suck.
Yeah,
that
dog
one's
collar,
great, and I love it.
Rope, whatever.
I don't know if I can think of another single one I've ever seen where I'm like, oh, that was a real good match.
Those two guys understood it. And if you would have given them like a month's notice and been like, we're going to put you in this giant fucking cage, like figure out what you want to do with it.
I don't know. I guess hopefully they would have let them know about it, because pretty famously they put Hogan and Piper in that Hell in the Cell ripoff cage when they were old men and they had no idea what to do with the structure. They were kind of taken aback that it wasn't a normal cage. And it was one of the worst matches anyone's ever seen.
Yeah, that's fair. That's really fair.
But young Piper, though.
He would have at
least... He had the wherewithal to do something with it.
He would have at least taken that, like, get to the outside and that Shawn Michaels halfway up the cage off to the announcer table bump. Like, Piper would have been good for that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and in 1983...
Seen a lot of Greg Valentine taking shots to the head into the cage and doing some, like, punch drunk, like, I'm trying to box you, but I'm out on my feet type stuff. All
right.
Just bleeding all down his face.
You could have done a lot of like Piper throwing Valentine into the hard posts where the chain link meets, you know? Not the fence part, but like
got
the post part.
Real,
you know?
CTE brewing there.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s, we didn't know that was a thing. Just hit his head in there real
to
hard.
Say,
it's
man.
Fine.
To say. So I think that one would have worked out.
That
would
have been a legendary match. People still talk about that Starrcade match, but if it was in Hell in a Cell, I mean, like, even the casuals would know about it.
Yep.
My number two, I was on a similar page with you again. I was thinking bloody feuds.
Yeah.
They were already bloody and amazing. How do you take them to the next level? I picked what was probably the bloodiest, most brutal feud of the 1980s, in my opinion. And that's Jerry Lawler versus Terry Funk.
Ooh.
These guys, they had 60-minute draws. They had Texas death matches. They had empty arena matches. I think they very famously among virgins with no life, were the first guys to break Dave Meltzer's star rating.
Ooh.
He used to do it on 4 stars, I think. One of their matches was the first 5-star match because it was so good, so brutal, just knocking each other into next week, slopping blood all over the front row. They're punching each other's bloody heads so hard.
Don't forget, we got Dave Meltzer's first eight star podcast. You put these guys, Hell in the Cell,
in Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, shit.
Fucking, that crowd is going to be rabid, insane. They might tear that cell down.
Yeah, you could have sold the Coliseum out with
that. You want to talk about taking that Shawn Michaels bump off the side? You know Terry Funk's finding a way to take that Shawn Michaels bump. You know Jerry Lawler wants to end the match by doing a pile driver on top of the cell.
Yeah.
Jerry Lawler, pile driver on top of the cell. That's an iconic image that would have just lasted forever. That would have been like the 1980s image of what fucking pro wrestling is if we could have got those guys a fucking Hell in a Cell back then.
I'm imagining Funker trying to get away from Lawler.
Oh, like, God damn it, Jerry!
He's halfway up the cage and like Lawler starts whacking him with like a broom or something to get him down.
Oh,
and
yeah,
that's
there
where he
you
falls
go.
Backwards into the table. And then like
Coon's getting on poor mom and just sweeps him off with a broom.
There's yeah. Yeah, that was a movie. I got a final one.
Okay, number one.
And I had to take it there, and I had to bring it back to where it was created.
Back to the E. Yeah, see, that's a thing. Like, we've been doing a lot of Southern wrestling, because I feel like the Hell in the Cell, better fit for Southern wrestling than it is the WWF.
Sure.
They would have really fucking done some gross-ass shit.
They didn't do the blood feuds like the Southerns did.
Mm-hmm.
But they did do the spectacle.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And they knew how to draw shit out, and they knew how to make you want it, and they knew how to make you pay for it. That's why you're still paying for it.
How does it feel?
Well, and I was trying to think, you know, Hogan's got to be in it.
1980s WWF match? Hell yeah. You ain't having one of those without Hogan sticking his nose in there. He smells money, brother.
And I was kicking around Giant for forever, but I just it wasn't enough for me.
Andre not mobile enough during the era to do anything cool inside the Hell in the Cell, I don't think.
I finally settled on the year-long drawout that turned into WrestleMania 5. Mega Powers Explode.
Very strong pick. Very strong. Heated feud. Personal feud.
Macho willing to bump.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's going to be taking crazy, like, go through a table bumps.
Nah.
But he's going to be banging off the cages and
shit. I think maybe we could get a elbow drop from the top rope to the apron.
Yeah, sure.
I don't remember him ever doing that in the 80s. Hell in a Cell might have been a nice
good time to bust that out. Yeah. But Hogan, to all of his faults, wasn't afraid to show color.
Oh, no. Hogan, whenever he was in a cage, you could guarantee he was going to bleed like a motherfucker.
So you could have done a lot. They do a lot of cheating in these matches. You could have had plenty of Macho getting chairs out from underneath the ring, taking the easy way out on Hogan, wearing him down with chairs, and then getting him outside and just grinding his head into that chain link fence.
Hogan's bleeding.
The
starts doing that.
Fucking kids are just worried, senseless.
Just blowing blood and sweat all over the place and spittle.
And, you know, fucking Hogan can Hulk up and then just throw Macho back first into the cage a couple times, watch him bounce.
Slingshot him off the cage into the big boot.
Yeah. Macho would do it, man. I think
he was a real workhorse back there in this era.
I think you could have made your spectacle that was gigantic to begin with even bigger.
He is a good way to get these guys out of the cage if you're going there. You got Elizabeth ringside. At one point, she's begging.
Yeah.
We got to get him out of here.
Yeah. Slaps the ref just to get the key or whatever the fuck it is.
Convinces one of the refs to open it up so she can go in there and stop them. And then these guys take that to fight to the outside.
Oh, yeah. You could totally do that. They're both knocked out, just laying there on the ground. Mm-hmm. No one's getting up. And Elizabeth is like, open the fucking door. Like, we got to save these people.
Inherent drama in this match.
Would have worked, man.
1, 2, 3. All the way, I've been lockstep with you, having very similar ideas.
Yeah.
I also thought, who's going to be able to make the most money in the Hell in a Cell? It's going to be Hulk Hogan. It's going to be the Hulkster, man. And you know that I wanted to get a couple of big, larger-than-life, over-the-top guys in there. Because like you said, we're not going to get any crazy shit in WWE cage match.
It's going to be brutality.
So I was like, who is an over-the-top, just big body, who like slamming into that cage next to Hogan's big body slamming into that cage is going to look good. It's going to just look impressive.
Yet can still move.
Announcer's going to be talking about, oh, I think the whole cell just shifted 6 inches to the left on that one. Nice, blah, blah, blah.
Nice.
And I came up with a guy who I think could have really, really benefited from having a Hell in a Cell match with Hulk Hogan, and that is the Earthquake.
Ooh, Johnny Tenta.
That John Tenta Hulk Hogan feud in 1990, NBA Jam rule, still counts as 80s.
Oh, wow.
Started off hot as fuck with the Earthquake squashing Hogan, injuring him, sending him away. The first time Hogan was ever like hurt to the point where he couldn't keep fighting and had to go away. It seemed like a big, big deal. And then they come back, and the only singles match they have is a 1990 SummerSlam singles match that ends in a countout. And then their feud kind of peters out when they just captain teams against each other at Survivor Series.
Yeah.
And I feel like this feud started off so hot, but they never had the big definitive singles match that would have like, A, made this one of the big Hogan feuds that people remember, and B, made Earthquake sort of a solid legendary main eventer in a way that he never quite got to. I'm saying you draw this all the way out to WrestleMania 7, have like them eliminate each other in the Rumble because they're still just so mad at each other. They fucking ruin both their chances at the title shot. You don't do Slaughter versus Hogan, which nobody wanted to see. Then you just do Hogan Earthquake inside Hell in a Cell, make it just like a blood feud that's lasted the whole fucking year. Like, first person ever really hurt Hogan.
You could've,
first person who's lasted this long without Hogan get a clean win on him.
You could have had just like the first 10 to 15 minutes be Earthquake just beating Hogan pillar to post, just dragging him on the ring, just
running, just like leaning him against the cage and then running real fast and squashing him in between his big belly
and
the cage.
The crowd just being like, Hogan's got no way to get out of this. He's literally going to die in there. And then just have Hogan do like 2 to 3 minutes of offense to win the match.
I'm picturing some
people would have been happy.
Stuff with the steel steps. Maybe like Earthquake puts the steps on top of Hogan and then butt squishes the steps.
Yeah.
Just
puts him in
the
little
Hogan like
a little
bug.
Triangular cutout part
just
there.
Squishing him like a bug.
Yeah.
I think this would have solidified Earthquake as one of Hogan's best opponents, which I think he should have been. And they kind of dropped the ball on that feud.
You Hulksters out there, man, you know darn well, and I know darn well, that the Hulksters never let down a person in his life. Whenever any of us needed him, the Hulk's always been there. You felt the charisma, you felt the warmth, you felt the electricity that's Hulkamania. He's always been there. Well, now's the time for us to give back to him what he's given to us all these years. That warmth, that love, that charisma, give it back to him. Put the smile back on his face. Let him know. I'm asking you, please. Let the man know how you feel about him. Let him know that you care.
I concur with Tugboat. There's ever a time that Hulk Hogan needs your help, it's now. Over the years, I developed a friendship with the Hulkster. I'm proud to say that he considered me a friend of his. A lot of great years. Please write to him. Let's go to the graphic. Please write to Hulk Hogan at this address. I can't do this.
Well, there you have it in a nutshell, folks. The Hulkster not faring too well at this particular point in time. Not hard to understand why, either.
What's the exact extent of his injuries?
Well, you know, he took that tremendous shot with that steel chair in the back, and it tore up that subscapularis area pretty well, and then all those earthquakes on his chest just crushed his ribs, some torn intercostal cartilage, some muscles torn at points of origin, points of insertion. A lot of damage was done, but nothing brain dead won't heal. The thing that I'm worried about is the mental aspect of the Hulk.
Well, you will agree with me on this, though. When a man like Earthquake works you over like he did Hulk Hogan, it's very hard to come back ever again 100%. If you do come back, you will admit that.
Unfortunately, I tend to agree with you, yes.
Services are at four.
That's not exactly true at all, folks. You know, the Hulkster is a very unique individual and has done some very positive things, some things that no other mere mortal has ever done.
In my opinion,
in the world of professional wrestling.
And from just the scuttlebutt I hear in the dressing rooms, Hulkamania is dead. It's over.
Ah, what could have been, man?
If only we had Hells in the Cellses back before we really had Hells in the Cellses.
And Vince Russo to come with us.
And Vince Russo to hang Dino Bravo in a cage outside the cage.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the stipulation would be, but
doesn't
it'd be a
matter.
Good time.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out when we get there, man.
Fix it in post.
Yeah. Where are we going next week, my man?
Next week, we're back up north to primetime wrestling.
Okay.
That April 11th.
That sounds good, huh?
1988 episode. For now, we'll stick with the pattern until we reach another one of those points where, you know,
we've had enough.
We decide we've had enough, and then
we
I'll come up with
out.
Something goofy and new for us to
we
do, like
out.
I do here on this podcast, this wrestling podcast, as you know as
Baby Oil and Blow.